up? Welcome into Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. You want to drive CarMax. Can you hear me?
It's so good.
Never a lovelier voice than yours.
Welcome in. We were having some technical difficulties right before I went live. Wasn't sure my mic was going to work, if it was, if it wasn't. Happy to be here. Happy that you can hear me alongside Sandra Herrera and Jordan Angeli. I'm Lisa Carlin. Guys, it is so good to be with you, hanging with you. If you're watching on Galazzo Network, thank you so much. If you're with us on YouTube, we appreciate it. Join the combo in the chat. Let us know your nominees for Team of the Week. You know we're going to do that today on the show. We're also wrapping up everything that happened this weekend, all the action from CONCACAF W Champions Cup to the Women's Champions League, and then, of course, NWSL and our Team of the Week. So thanks for hanging with us. Be sure to stick around with it. It is great to see you, Jordan. Welcome back to A3. From the mic and the call to A3, how are you?
Yeah, well, you had a similar day too. So let's not, I mean, thank you. I appreciate that. But Sandra, I think we didn't do a good enough job. We should have reacted a little bit more. So Lisa was nervous. Her microphone actually wasn't working. But I know, I'm like, happy to be here.
So you guys smiled and I was like, oh, thank God.
What a relief. Trust me, I didn't want anything to happen to you. I really didn't want you to have like that low. There. Yeah, I didn't want that low whisper either, because, you know, I didn't want to be treated to the Lisa Carlin ASMR experience, you know.
We were having some fun right before the show started, actually, with that. But guys, it is so good to chat with you. Let's dive into it because we have a lot to get through today. We are coming right off of the game that just ended. It was San Diego Wave taking on Orlando Pride. Orlando, they get a 1-0 win, take down top of the table team, San Diego. And for Orlando, it kind of a big win for them, Sandra. I feel like they needed this, the team in purple.
Absolutely. There's only now a week left before there's a huge gap of a break in this season. And you want to try to collect as many points as you do before your season kind of gets a little bit interrupted once again. So sometimes you have to just like search for that win in a way that maybe feels a little bit like harder work, but you don't want to say that this game was one that they needed because it's still relatively early, but it kind of felt that way going into this one. They absolutely did need it.
It's only their second win in the last six games. I do think Orlando really needed it. And you could see their celebrations. I think it was Corey Dyke, like emphatically with the fist pump when the whistle blew, because it's been a difficult year for Orlando to start with. And if they don't have Barbara Banda scoring, they haven't won. And so to get a win with her not on the tallying a goal, I think is also humongous for them.
Yeah. For so long, we were talking about Orlando only run by like only runs on Barbara Banda. They're shifting away from that. And also teams are defending really well against Barbara Banda. I think San Diego defense did a good job against her tonight. Kennedy Wesley was bodying up and, Kristen McNabb in the back line. Sorry, I was blanking on names for a second. It's been a long weekend, guys. Been a long weekend. So we're touching on that game. Of course, we try to bring in player interviews immediately from the game that join us on A3. So stick around to see who we will chat with from San Diego, Orlando. But there was a lot of action this weekend, guys. We crowned some champions across CBS networks, including in the CONCACAF W Champions Cup, because the final took place. It was Club America taking on Washington Spirit, and the Liga MX side, Club America, defeats the Spirit in a 5-3 thriller. Jace with a brace in this game, and with the win for Club America, that means they booked their ticket to the 2027 FIFA Champions Cup and the 2028 Club World Cup, which is a lot for them. I mean, Club America, Sandra, this is their first international tournament that they win. They pick up the title. It meant so much to these fans. It meant so much to the team watching them get the win. It was pretty cool to see Club America win this one.
A massive week for them. I mean, coming off of winning the league, just and then going out and doing that. I mean, over the course of two games in this competition, it was a semifinals round and then the championship round, just racking up goals like it's nothing. Like they didn't just come off a long season of their own and a hard-fought battle for a championship domestically. They go out and then do that. I'm absolutely thrilled to see that they got the job done. Just for what it's going to mean for this tournament moving forward, it's still in those early phases. And Gotham went out and did the thing last year, and now to see a Liga MX Femenil side go out and kind of stake, you know, their flag in the place of this, I think it's incredible for the region. It's exactly what you hope for when we start to see these types of things get introduced for the women's game. And I think we can all agree at a certain point, we never maybe wanted to see so much dominating forces from maybe one side of the scale. So I think it's great that there's this kind of leveling of things out here.
And just that dominating that you're talking about was just a couple years ago. Remember the Liga MX NWSL, the longest tournament name in the history of the world? Yeah. It was NWSL teams just totally dominating. And just a couple of years later, the script is flipped because both of the Liga MX teams went out and put on a show this weekend against not just Washington Spirit, but against Gotham as well.
Yeah, so it was Pachuca and Gotham FC in the third place match that also happened on Saturday on Paramount Plus and Golazo Network. And Pachuca took down Gotham 3-0. Guys, it was an absolutely crushing win by Pachuca. Gotham looked like a deflated balloon, if you will. I think the physicality got to them, the altitude. It's almost 8,000 feet above sea level in Pachuca where these teams were playing, but they really looked like they were tired coming from a lot of NWSL play, a lot of travel going right into this game, dealing with a lot of injuries, the physicality of the game against Club America on Wednesday, and then this game against Pachuca. Not the best showing for the reigning champs, Gotham FC. And I'm not just talking NWSL champs, reigning champs of this tournament, mm-hmm. that to then come in fourth is not great. But for Club America to win, for them Pachuca to take down Gotham in this one, to me, it feels like Liga MX is trying to say, guys, we can be the better league over the NWSL. We are here to compete in CONCACAF. Like you're talking about, Jordan, it's such a quick turnaround from the big Summer Cup that was just a few years ago.
I feel like for the next couple of years, the best teams in Liga MX Femenil will compete. I do think that. And we are seeing that right now. But I think that there is still a gap in that league, unlike the gap that is in the league in the United States. So it'll be, maybe a little while before we say, hey, this league is as competitive and the best league in North America if they get there. But it takes time. Like we've seen in NWSL, right? It took time. And this league in Mexico is still very young. It only started a handful of years ago. And so I think for those teams to both win, to get wins in the day and to come in third and first was massive for the league and probably recruitment for them too, trying to get some players to come play down there.
A huge recruitment for them. Shout out to Scarlett Cambreros, the forward for Club America, who won the Golden Boot. She won player of the tournament as well, 6 goals for that player, and just a dominant performance from Cambreros with Club America. It looks like they deserve that win, absolutely, in this one. So Club America, they win. So they're going to the 2027 FIFA Champions Cup, where they will take on the UEFA Women's Champions League winners, because we got that final also from one FIFA designation to the other. We go from CONCACAF to UEFA, where Barcelona took on Lyon in another dominating performance that we saw in a final. 4-0. To Barcelona. They are queens of Europe again, their fourth win in their last 6 years. It felt like the tiny drought that Barcelona had is over because they get this massive, massive win, a second half performance where Barcelona just exploded on Lyon, Jordan. But the champions of UEFA Women's Champions League are Barcelona.
Was anybody else getting that feeling when you watch this game? Like, oh no, it's going to be one of those games for Barcelona, because they had multiple chances in the first half where they don't miss these. Like Payet doesn't miss that chance in the first half where it goes wide. And I'm thinking, oh wow, this actually, they might be their own worst enemy here. And I think there was a lot of emotions in this game, clearly for us watching, so many Americans on the Lyon team. I'm good friends, grew up with Lindsay Heaps, and to see her go from that high of thinking she scored in her last ever Champions League final, the celebration she had in the corner, and then to wait for minutes at the half field to be like, oh, we were offside. Like, talk about a dagger, Sandra. That was that was hard to watch for me.
I don't want to say it like suck something out of it, but you can't, like, looking back, right, having a day, you know, to think about it, it kind of feels like it was. And I did feel that at certain stretches of the game, Jordan, but I actually felt it more for OL. It just sort of felt like what they were doing in that first half was perfect. It took Barcelona, it forced Barcelona into some uncomfortable positions, out of their game plan. They didn't look like the Barcelona that we had expected to see. And it just sort of felt like the further that first half went and they didn't get a goal, that it was going to be get harder for a while. And that second half, oh my goodness. I mean, it was a 4-goal onslaught. So it just, it's a tough way, but I mean, you have to credit Barcelona. It was absolutely representative of who they are right now in Europe, who they are right now in the world. They are the team to beat, to chase in this sort of modern era of the game of Champions League moving forward. There's absolutely no denying that. It sort of feels like Lyon is now kind of chasing them a bit.
Everyone's chasing Barcelona, but it was a second half slaughter for Barcelona. Eva Payor with a brace in the 55th and the 69th minute, and then Salma Parayuelo with two goals in the end of this game, 90th minute and then the 93rd minute. So stoppage time of this one. But for Eva Payor, she has played in 5 Champions League finals and never won. She now becomes the first Polish player to win the Women's Champions League, and she scored a brace in this game. It felt kismet at times for this Barcelona team, right? We are going to talk about Lyon a little bit, but all of the pieces falling into place with Caroline Graham Hansen playing at home in Oslo, Norway in this game, but also for Alexia Putellas in this game. She subbed off in it. We saw it in the semifinal for Barcelona, emotional for Putellas, crying in that semifinal, and then to be subbed off in this game and to know your team had a goal ahead of Lyon at this point. Her future is unknown right now. She has not re-signed with Barcelona. Where she is going to go, Jordan, is that the last time we saw Alexia Putellas play for Barcelona?
I don't know. The way she reacted made it feel that way. That it really did. And I think it's also emotional because she's gone through some real highs and real lows with this club. And I think it's taken her a while to get back from that ACL injury that she had a few years ago. Like, she hadn't looked like herself really, I would say, until this year. And this year she has been unreal. Like, the Alexia of yesteryear with a little bit more suavemente to her, right? Like, she's just so good in tight spaces. And part of me is like, I hope it's not her last game at Barcelona because of the legend that she is there. But also part of me is excited for what's next for her, and like bringing that to its new team and seeing how that fits in and really seeing how her skill sets translate to potentially a new league. So, I mean, I don't think she could stay in La Liga Femenil if she...
That would be even worse.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, like, at this point in her career, it's sort of like, to your point, Jordan, it sort of feels like she's having that bit of a career year, or like maybe a renaissance of what we always knew her capabilities. And what a position to be in. It's like, oh, what's next for Alexia Putellas? It's literally whatever she wants. It's like, that's how great of a position she's in right now. It's almost just sort of like, lay them all out for me and I'll take a look at every single pitch.
I'll make a choice. That comment up on the screen that says Alexia to NWSL. We got to make our pitches too, you guys.
Listen, I would love, come on over. And I'm even broadening those horizons. Just come on over to the region, girl. I wouldn't be mad if you went to Liga MX Femenil either. You've got some Spain homies out there already.
True.
So come on over. She likes it
over
here.
We have those picks both in the chat right now. Gary San 8568 saying Alexia to NWSL. Shinta 0013 saying she's going to Liga MX. Kathleen saying Barcelona. We don't know where Alexia Putellas is going, but she's going somewhere. But what we do know is that Lindsay Heaps is leaving Lyon and coming to play in the NWSL, playing for Denver Summit, her hometown team, the team at Jordan, you know, helped bring to this league four players like Lindsay Heaps, who left high school to go play overseas to make her dreams come true, to win Champions League, which Heaps did. But to have this season end the way it did, still so much success for Lyon and for Lindsay Heaps, but heartbreak. My heart was broken when Lindsay didn't get that goal that she thought she scored in this final. And then that the fact that they didn't get to win this, I thought she was going to. Even at halftime of this game, I was like, Lyon's still going to win it. I don't know what it was in me, maybe the American in me, the just want for Lyon to be back at the top, the want for Lindsay Heaps. But heartbreak, really, for Heaps to end the Champions League campaign like this. It broke my heart watching it.
Yeah. I cried twice in the game. Once when she scored the goal, I was getting off a plane and I'm crying, getting off the plane. Oh. The second time was after when she's crying right after the whistle blew. And it was just like immediate tears for her. It's just, she's put a lot into that club, and that club has continued to help her elevate to become one of the best players in the world in the midfield. I think they said her passing accuracy was like in the 90s. It was really high. They showed it on one of the videos I saw. So she was still dominating in that game. And I'm sure it's mixed emotions, you know, like she wanted that so bad. I know she wanted that really bad. But for her, the start of a brand new journey in her hometown, she just was wishing that she was bringing a different colored medal back home.
I'm here to see the response. You know, I mean, listen, there's no better way to get over, you know, a championship final loss than the fire that gets lit up within you. And Denver Summit are doing some pretty fun things right now. So I think she's coming on over at a pretty great time.
Yeah, huge time. There's still a chance for her to pick up a trophy, though, with Lyon. She plays one more game Friday, May 29th, against Paris FC for a chance to pick up another trophy with Lyon before she comes here to NWSL. Shout out to our A3 girlies and the CBS Sports crew who crushed it at the Women's Champions League final. Specifically, though, our A3 gals, Darian Jenkins and Jen Beattie. They crushed it. Incredible job by them. If you are with us on YouTube and you watch the Champions League final on CBS Sports Network, you watch Darian, you watch Jen, let us know in the chat. Let us know what you thought about it. I want to hear all about it from you guys.
I want to see some ties in the chat.
Everybody, yes, ties. Gotcha.
We love ties.
Oh, that's a good one. Such a good one.
They were awesome. They did a really good job.
They crushed it.
Really fun stuff from our Champions League crew. Stick with us, guys. We are diving into NWSL. And the weekend that was week 9, it was crazy. There was a lot of movement. Stick right here. We'll be right back. What's up? Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. We are talking NWSL recap because week 9 action, it was a little crazy, guys, because top of the table, Utah Royals pick up another win. They're first in the standings right now. Jordan, you're fist pumping.
Let's go, Utah. Wow. How long have you been waiting for this? Is anybody else just like so jazzed for them?
I'm thrilled. Happy. Yeah. I love no one loves a worst to first storyline more than me. In fact, please send help from Chicago. But these types of moments are like what you pluck out of NWSL and you say, that's NWSL. So yeah. I love it for them.
Absolutely. That is NWSL. Well, they picked up another win. So now it's 9 games unbeaten for the Utah Royals, setting a new club record as they took down expansion team Denver Summit 2-1. And it does feel like this is perhaps the story of the season, right? This is a team, Sandra, that does go from worst to first. But Jordan, why are you so jazzed about this? I mean, you're fist pumping. You're so excited. Tell us.
I'm really excited because I think for the last 2 seasons, we've seen stretches where Utah has been this team. but it's only been stretches. And those stretches have been at the end of the year. And it's just too little too late for them. But I really like how Jimmy Kunratz wants to play. And I think it is an aggressive style of play. They throw a lot of numbers forward. And now they've been able to add pieces that help them execute in the way that they want to. Narumi has been excellent. I think Ana Tejada is playing the best we've seen her play. She's fitter than we've ever seen her play. She can cover ground, win tackles, and be simple. Just play it to Narumi, let her and Tanaka in the midfield really pull the strings. And then there's duality on both of their wings. They isolate with Lacasse. They bring Monahan inside centrally. Delzer is playing the best that we've ever seen her play. A high tide rises all boats. And I feel like that's what we're seeing with Utah. And they're really fun to watch. And I am loving what's happening there for this Royals team, who have been through a lot and have believed that they're this team. And now they actually are that team.
And Jimmy Kunratz believed it too. That's, I think, what's really impressive, Jordan, because you can have a coach come in to a team and a league and say, this is how I want to play, and not be able to do it, and then panic because a coach's jobs are on the line every single time their team steps on the pitch, and say, okay, we're going to switch and just do what we can to get the job done. And Kunratz is so bought into what he wants to do and got a team that's so bought into how he wants to play and was able to ride out some tough injuries, right? Chloe Lacasse was a big miss for Utah last year. Her being back and available and healthy and playing like we're used to seeing Lacasse play is a really big up for this team, to bring in Narumi, to be able to find a group that actually can compete how he wants to and not stray from the plot that he set out to do and the football that he wanted to bring to the Royals. Now he's able to execute it. I mean, Tanaka, you touched on her, Jordan. Sandra, she has now been involved in the winning goal for 5 of Utah's 7 victories this season. Everything runs through Tanaka in this game.
It's outrageous. I think early, like midfield of the year, like finalist chatter around her 100%. And I mean, we're talking about that midfield as a whole right now, you know, alongside, you know, Narumi and Tejada. I mean, maybe we see more than one in that conversation down the stretch, but I don't know if there's a player in the league right now that's more integral to what a system in Utah is doing right now. I'm so impressed by their press. I'm not trying to make a pun, but I am. It's like every time you see it, you're just like, there they go again. And it's getting to that point in the season where you're like, okay, this is their identity. This is who they are. Surely we're going to see a team prepare for that and counter to, and yet here they are just rising up the top of the table, committed to their identity. It's really cool to see.
Number one, they have everybody healthy, which helps. I think the competition in all the spots, including the goalkeeper spot, because Mandy McGlynn knows if she doesn't perform, Mia Justice is right there. And she's shown that she can do really well in this league. Every position feels like it has depth, and they have not had that. And so it's really working out. And the last point I want to say is, like, you got to credit the front office for sticking with Jimmy Kunratz, because came in after Amy Rodriguez had 8 games and they, something like that, 8 or 10 games, and they let her go. And they have now given him a runway to really instill what you said, Lisa, to trust that the system will work.
I have a very fun fact about this Utah team. They are the 10th team in NWSL history to win 7 games in the span of 8 matches in 1 regular season. 7 of the previous 9 went on to win at least 1 between the championship and the Shield. Do Utah Royals pick up a trophy this year because of their form right now?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. Now that you gave some numbers, I think it's real possible.
One, numbers don't lie. Look at you. Great research.
Thank you.
2, I don't know yet.
Oh, you want to see that second half? You want to see that second half, Utah? I do too.
He was pumping, and now she's not sure.
It's a long season
we've ever seen. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll see. We'll see. We'll check back in on Utah. For right now, they're at the top of the table. We got some other upsets in this crazy league that we love to talk about. Houston Dash beat Angel City 2-1. For Houston, that was their first victory in 51 days. It ends a six-match winless streak, and they left it until late. It was a stoppage time game-winning goal from Houston's Maggie Graham. Now it's back-to-back unbeaten for the Dash, Sandra. Have Houston finally landed in the NWSL?
Not for me, but that's an opinion. This is a I feel statement, a question directed towards me. I'm sure others will feel differently. Not in this league. It's too hard. You got to have consistency in NWSL. And that has been what's missing for this Houston Dash side. It's been what's missing for me. It's incredible to look at this roster, how they built it over the offseason in light of what they've got going on off of the pitch, whether it's on the hunt for new owners or on the hunt for more investment to come into the club so that there's more financial backing outside of that, and then see so many different players make an impact in different ways. And yet, for some reason, like any other team in NWSL, they have found themselves struggling or having to sit through some skids or grow through a series of slumps. I don't know if getting that a win against a team that kind of mirrors them a bit, that were also fighting out of their own slump, that are also still sort of trying to figure things out ahead of the break, is enough for me to say, oh, there they are, and they're back.
But what about the draw to San Diego midweek?
The draw to San Diego midweek? I mean, if this is what it's going to take to make people a believer that Houston's going to go all the way, then why not have the same feeling, for Orlando, who just got a win against San Diego tonight? Why not have,
delusional, Sandra?
Because yeah, that is true. We do just pop off sometimes and just say some things, don't we, friend?
That's the fun part of it.
I do feel like this is perfect, though, for Houston before the break. They needed points. They had so many games at home, and they weren't getting points. So to get the draw and then to get the win at home, you can see with Maggie Graham, the way she celebrated that goal, it felt like she'd never scored a goal before in her life. Like, this team needed a victory badly. I think Houston, if you look at them at the beginning of the season and if you look at them now, one of the biggest things, I think, one, they've had some injuries that have hurt them, especially on the outside of the field. And with Kiki Van Zanta not being available, that then shifts players around. At one point this week, I think Avery Patterson was playing backup on the front line. So they're just kind of moving things around. But their movement off the ball at the beginning of the year was creating the space for themselves. I think now they're trying to their movement is also almost like after the play happens, like they're waiting on the pass to happen to move, when it's like before they were all over the place. Like in that 4-2-2-2, the box formation, the movement preceded the pass, and they need to get back to that to keep this run going.
Yeah. I mean, Sandra, you do make a good point about the competition that Houston was playing against Angel City, because talk about a hot and cold team. Angel City in the last week, they drew Portland, they beat Kansas City, and then they lost to Houston.
Who are you?
What's happening? What is happening in LA? What, like,
being a streaky team doesn't bode well for you if you're operating in NWSL. It gets tough. We keep talking about this break, how it's coming up. Summer's getting closer. We're all going to be looking at teams on this table and wondering and going, filtering through them and saying, that's a club that needs to make a move or try to add another piece. And Angel City for me is 100% one of those players. Like, I want to see them make some sort of addition to the club roster moving forward, even if it's just, I don't want to say like shake things up, but you could just sort of tell that things have kind of plateaued, and what we're seeing from them now is just this kind of streaky performances from them. So, they have the resources. I think they have the capabilities to go out there and pitch their club and bring someone in. Who that's going to be remains to be seen.
Houston Dash, they're now just ahead of Angel City by 1 point and one spot in the table. 10th place for the Dash, 11th for Angel City. Another big one we had on CBS today, big CBS today, was a come-from-behind dominating win by Kansas City Current over Portland Thorns, 3-1 for the home side at CPKC Stadium. And for Kansas City, they also broke some records in the process of getting this win. It was Kansas City's 9th consecutive regular season home win, the longest streak in league history, but also their 22nd straight home regular season match unbeaten. They just make CPKC Stadium a fortress for anyone to play in. And despite going down a goal early in this one to Sophia Wilson, they come back. And talk about a streaky team. There's been a lot of question marks around Kansas City. They beat Chicago, they beat Houston, and then they lost to Angel City. And we said, okay, well, can you put on some real competition against someone that's really going to compete with you? And now they beat Portland Thorns, Jordan. Is this the real Kansas City? Is this the real deal that we're seeing now?
The thing that I've noticed about NWSL this year, it doesn't feel like there is going to be a dominant team like we've seen for the last 2 years. 2 years ago, it was Orlando. Last year, it was Kansas City. This year, it does not feel like we're going to have a team that is like that, that goes on like consecutive win streaks. Like there's going to be losses in there because there's a lot more parity, I think, in the league this season. And so for Kansas City, I think that their reaction to come back from losing a game away from home and to put on this performance was what's important. But they've looked like themselves again since Temwa Shuinga came back. Yeah. They have. Because she just, you guys, you can't not be fearful of her if you're an opponent. And when you have a little bit of fear in you as a defender, you're going to act differently. You're going to give more space to her. And that gives more space to Roy Bethune centrally. You know, there's just so many things that I think Shuinga does that when you don't have her, it's hard to replace her or get the feel like yourselves. And they look like themselves again when she's on the field, despite if they win or lose.
Yeah. And Shuinga ends up getting the game winning goal in this one, the second goal to help lift KC Current over them. And it could have been a different game after Portland scored first. But it was end-to-end action, right? Sophia Wilson against Temwa Shuinga. We dubbed it as like two great offenses going against each other. And KC kind of were brought back to life. There was a moment where they could have said, okay, we're going to let Portland run over us in this game. And the Current came back and they crushed. A big win for Kansas City to take down the Portland Thorns. We touched on it at the top of the show. It was a win for Orlando Pride tonight. They take down San Diego Wave 1-0. And right now we are very, very pleased to welcome in the game-winning goal scorer of this Orlando Pride game, Nicole Payne. Hey, Nicole, welcome to A3.
Hi.
Congratulations. Girl, your first goal, you get the game winner. How are you feeling right now? Are you pretty pumped?
Yeah, feeling pretty good. Yeah.
Excited.
I love it.
Yeah.
How does it feel to just sort of find yourself reintegrated with this team? Getting a game winner has to feel incredible. Not that there's, you know, that you were entering this game with, you know, certain expectations of yourself, but how does it feel to just sort of have that part of a return sort of done and dusted?
Yeah, like I've said a couple of times, it's obviously been a very long time. It's been close to 15 months since I played my last NWSL game. So yeah, it's definitely still kind of an adjustment, but I've just had a great group around me of teammates, coaches, support staff, just believing in me and taking a chance on me. It means a lot. So yeah, I really owe everything to them.
Nicole, as a former player that has also torn my ACL, yeah, it's hard for people that haven't been through that to understand what those feelings are like. I had a little tear for you when you scored the goal. It is just like, it does feel like, and it looked like you got emotional too. Like, yeah, it's almost as if, and tell me if you had this feeling, like it flashes all in front of you and you're like, whoa, I can't believe I'm already here.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like you said, it's a very long recovery and a really long journey. And sometimes you never really know how you're going to come back. And everyone's always asking, like, how are you feeling? And, you know, sometimes there are setbacks within the journey. So, yeah, I think it's just obviously really emotional, especially when it was my first start back from injury and getting a goal, like, yeah, just a lot of emotions. And even though it went in at first, that's why I was kind of like, wait, when I saw my teammates celebrating, I was like, oh, went in. But yeah, it was a surreal moment.
So. Super proud of you. Have you pictured what your first goal back was going to look like?
I didn't, honestly. I've been so focused on just, you know, getting back out there and not trying to put too much pressure on myself and have crazy expectations that honestly, the only thing I was thinking about was, you know, just trying to play like myself again and really just help the team. So, yeah, it was pretty cool that, you know.
you mentioned the time away, the 15 months from this moment now, not to make you dig back so far back, but what would you say are maybe some of the biggest things that you've learned about yourself off of the pitch and in your road back?
Yeah, I would just say that I feel like I'm someone who's really resilient. Again, I had a little bit of a setback during my journey as well. So yeah, it was a little bit frustrating, but yeah, I think just having a lot of people around me, friends, family, again, coaches and teammates who have just continued to push me to keep going and to not give up. Yeah, this is really my biggest thing and my biggest lesson is just like when you get knocked down, like just keep getting up every time.
I love it. And you join this team in Orlando who you guys have to have some resilience this year, right? It's not been the easiest of roads. Take me into the locker room and what you guys were talking about after this game. You get an emphatic, like it is a big win to beat San Diego away from home. What were you guys talking about?
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty long 2 weeks for us. Obviously, we've had three road games in a row, one midweek as well. So I think it's just sticking together and standing by one another and really just working for each other. I think during these times, it's really easy to point fingers or to get really frustrated. But I think every single time we stand by one another and we just continue to push ourselves, work on the things we need to work on, get better at the things we need to get better at. And I think it really showed today how much work we put in this past week to just continue to be on a better trajectory.
What was the message from Seb Hines after this game?
Yeah, I think it was just, again, like the resilience that we've had, obviously. Our staff puts in a lot of work and they really try and prepare us for these games. So I think, he was just really, really pleased and really proud of the shift and the effort that we put in this game. Obviously, losing the past two games wasn't easy, but I think this last game really just showed the type of team that we are and the things that we can do. So.
All right, Nicole, I want to ask you about your family because you come from an absolute footballing family with your brother Steven, your sister Tony. Are they giving you feedback? Like, what's the dynamic? Are you watching your sister's games? Or is she watching your games? Are you guys talking tactics or you leave that to the coaching staff? Take us inside that relationship.
Yeah, we've always honestly trained from a very young age together. Our dad kind of trained us and put us all in there together. But yeah, I watch every single one of my sister's games, every single one of my brother's games, and they try and watch my games. Obviously, again, I've been out for a while, but yeah, I think they really just have given me the confidence. Obviously, I'm the youngest, so they've really just given me the confidence that, you know, I could come back and show what I could do and continue to play at a high level. So yeah, I really appreciate them all the time with all the pointers that they give. So
in a 1v1 battle between you and your sister, who wins?
Oof, that's a tough one. I obviously have to say myself, love you sister, but yeah, I think I'll have to take that one, but also very lethal. So.
I like that. That's good competition there. That's good competition. The last thing I have for you, Nicole, before you got to get on the bus and then thankfully go home for a little bit. You guys haven't been home in a long time. You guys play Bay in your last game before this long break. What do you have to take from this game into that game to ensure that you take 3 points at home heading into a really long time off?
Yeah, I think we just have to look back and just really remember, obviously, what this game felt like and all the things that we put into this game and really just continue to take it into the next game. I think, obviously, we have a lot of focus. We have some time to regroup, recover, and prepare for Bay. So, I think our next thing is putting in a clean sheet and a shift at home as well. I think those are really important. So, yeah, I think we're just going to hone in on the things that we can continue to grow on and get better at and hopefully take it to bay. So,
Nicole, yeah. First goal down. Plenty more to come. You're going to be working on the celebrations?
I will, yes. Hopefully the next one will be a little bit less shocking, but yeah.
But plenty more to come. Congrats on the goal. Congrats on the win for Orlando and safe travel.
Guys, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, thanks so much, Nicole.
Bye.
Well, it was great to talk to her. I love when we get players on post-game, their energy they bring. She's so reflective too, Jordy. I loved your questions about, you know, the recovery process. So many fans, media, they just have no idea what players go through. And even the emotions. It did look like she got emotional after the goal was scored.
I saw a little bit of like watery eyes. I think that's why my eyes got watery. And just to even hear from her there, I don't know about you guys. I know a lot about players in this league. I didn't know she had a setback in her recovery. That's the first I've heard of it. And, you know, it's hard because everybody thinks ACL injuries are, maybe I should go this way with that airplane, like this, but the recovery is like up, down, you go backwards, you take a few steps forward, then you might have a setback. So just to hear her acknowledge that and call herself resilient, I was like, yeah, you are, girl. Yeah. You go on. Get pretty that cool. goal.
Pretty cool to hear from Nicole Payne. Yeah. Let's take you around the grounds of NWSL. Wrap up the weekend. Chicago Stars, they got a win, Sandra. They got a win, 1-0 over Bay FC. The first goal that the Stars have scored in 5 games, and it comes from their superstar, Mallory Swanson. She's back on the pitch. She played some minutes and she gets her first goal since July of 2024. We already know Jordan has cried like 10 times this weekend. Did you cry when Mal scored that goal, Sandra?
Listen, it just more was just like relief. Honestly, I just was like, oh, they can do it. They can. Miracles do happen if you believe. I love
that. Sounds like a song.
Hey, I love when we see players come back from long absences and do incredible things and hit milestones that maybe they weren't necessarily anticipating. Like hearing from Nicole just now, like, and the question where just like, did you envision scoring? Not really, right? Because it's just, you just, the world is full of unknowns, let alone the path of a professional athlete who's coming back from a long absence. And so to see Mal Swanson go from just getting her first touches back last week to coming back for a 45 minute plus shift in her second week back, and then not only score, but score the game winner, can't write it any better. I'm thrilled for the player. I'm thrilled for that team because goodness, did they need something? It needed a two-player advantage and a very long amount of soccer. There was a lot of stoppage time in that one. A
lot of stoppage time.
So they needed a couple of different things there. And they obviously needed Mal Swanson to just take control. I mean, even when you saw her on the ball and said, look at all this space in front of me, you could just sort of feel like something special was going to happen. So it's good for her and very, very good for that team right now.
Two red cards in this one, Sandra. You buried the lead there at the end. As did I. Okay, I was trying to give Chicago some love.
Goodness.
Jordan, you were on the call for this one. Great job. You crushed it, friend. What any takeaways from this one?
Thank you. It was hard. I felt like they looked pretty good with a player down for, 50 minutes? I thought they still looked like they could be the team that took this one.
They scored.
It was a interesting offside call. And I think if that would have stayed, I don't think Bay gives up a goal. I don't. Or maybe they give the one up to Mal Swanson, but like they looked Chicago. I think the hard part is they can't rely on Mal Swanson to have a moment like that every single game. It did feel like that was the only way it was going to happen for them, but it doesn't matter because they won, and maybe that's just the little bit of momentum that they needed. They have yet to lose at the Bay. 3 games, 3 wins for Chicago. So maybe they should just play there every single weekend. Move their team to the Bay.
There you go. Found the solution.
Big wins for Chicago. Some other games, North Carolina Courage, they beat Racing Louisville 2-1. Seattle Reign, not only did they score, but they won 2-1 over Boston Legacy. Some other notes from around the league. Any thoughts, Jordan, Sandra, on North Carolina, Seattle, those wins that they picked up?
We're talking about scoring. Thank goodness for Sophia Huerta and Seattle Reign too. They were on some tough skids there too. I mean, it wasn't just some of these performances. It was the lack of goal scoring.
Yeah.
Nothing like getting reminded that you can actually do that. So good for them.
Yeah. Congrats. Back to some goal scoring ways. Well, perhaps a teaser of Sophia Huerta. Is she going to be on our attacking third team of the week? It is everyone's favorite time. We're taking a quick break and then we're doing A3 team of the week in our best 11. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this. What's up? Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by Tylenol, the official pain reliever of the NWSL. It is everyone's favorite time of the week, our Attacking Third best 11 for match week 9. We start with the front and our fearless leader, Sandra Herrera. Take it away with the forwards.
I feel so blessed that I've been given forwards once more. I like this. Let's keep it going. I like leading the way here. They made the job easy this week. And maybe a little too easy, because of course I wanted to like go back and say, is this really who I can put in here? Because like we're getting to a point in the season where these are just going to get harder and harder to put together. But I'm absolutely putting Ashley Sanchez up top. I think she's having a career year. She is doing incredible things for North Carolina, and she's doing it at a consistent basis right now. And it's very, very hard to ignore what she's putting together for North Carolina. I'm also going to give special honors to Mel Swanson. I mean, we've had any mom that is like coming back this year, mm-hmm. scoring a goal, chances are you're going to get put on this team of the week. And Mel Swanson is no different in this one. Made an immediate difference for this team this week. Got on the ball, scored a goal, and ended up being the game winner. So team of the week honors for her. And looking back at this one, I was like, who should be this third one? Who should round this out? And we all know what time it is. It's Temwa time, baby. So of course I've got Temwa Chiwenga on this one. Just an incredible player, a special player. I've said that she's the type of player that makes you forget about the lows and the woes, and that is what's happening for Kansas City Current. What skid? What losing streak? Who cares? Because it's Temwa time, baby. So getting another goal, keeping pace with the Golden Boot race, and honors again on Team of the Week. I don't know if anyone has any, special shout outs or mentions, but that's my trio for this week.
I feel good with that. I think that's really,
yeah,
I think good. You nailed it.
Good pick, Sandra. But I do have a question for you, a follow-up question. Will Ashley Sanchez get called back up to the U.S. Women's National Team because of her recent performances?
It's getting tough to ignore what she's doing. And listen, injuries happen, and sometimes those open windows in other ways. I love that Ashley Sanchez is having a career year. I hate that it's happening in a year out, less than or sort of a year out from a World Cup. It is a very specific window of time for that U.S. women's national team. Is what Ashley Sanchez is doing right now too good to ignore? For me, yeah, I do think there's time for her to get into a camp. I hope she gets a look.
Yeah. I kind of love it, Sandra, because she has a whole year. She's still got, 20 games left to prove that she can do this consistently. And it's never been the question if she can do it. It's like, can she do it game after game after game? Mm-hmm. And if she has a full year where this is what she's doing every single game, she's going to Brazil.
Yeah.
And she's doing it on the wing. So I'd be very curious to A, see if that, yeah. I'd be very curious to see if A, that call up happens, and B, what it looks like positionally to Emma Hayes and her staff.
She has a better chance of going to the World Cup as a winger than she does as a central midfielder, in my opinion, for Ashley Sanchez. Good pick, Sandra, for our front three. Fabulous stuff. All right, Jordan, our resident midfielder, the one that used to lock it down when she was on the pitch in the center of the field. Take us away. Here are your midfielders of the week.
You guys, this was a head scratcher because I felt like we had a lot of we had a lot of good performances. Not a ton of them tipped over to great for me this week. I will say, coming off that game, I thought Luana had an excellent game. She helps with the goal that gets scored by sending that long ball. She was cleaning things up in the midfield. I think I heard them say it was her first start that she's had since coming back from her cancer diagnosis. So that alone, just like you, Sandra, Luana, you were on the midfielders of the week. So, and Orlando get the win. So Luana is one of them. This is where I get in a pickle. Was it Croy Bethune or was it Lo Labonta from this Kansas City team? Lo gets the goal, so I want to put her on it. But Croy was a menace.
Yeah.
She was absolutely all over the place, driving the ball at the back line, making everybody look silly. This is exactly what we know that she can do. And it, with that like little with the inclusion of Shawinga, she gets the space to do that. And her passes inside that box, like that no look pass to Michelle Cooper early on in the game, like threading the needle inside the box. Who are you, Croy Bethune?
So I think you're making the case right here, Jordan. I think you got your pick.
I think I got to go with her. And then, okay, so Croy Bethune it is. Sorry, Lo, we love you. Great Sally, as always. The last one I am going to do, you guys, Utah's top of the table. We can't go through this without giving Utah a player on Team of the Week. So I am going with Tanaka. She, just the way she's facilitating for Utah, she gets the penalty kick goal that ends up being the game winner. But my goodness, she's all over the place. It looks like she's their metronome on how they actually work centrally. So I'm going to go with her.
Great shout. And I also like that you went with Croy Bethune. I'm so happy for Lo and a goal after she missed the penalty last week, right? Like huge for her confidence, huge to get a run of play goal, huge for her to just score. She doesn't score a lot, but Croy does everything. As our chat's blown up, they also want Croy Bethune in the starting 11. So I'm good with these three. Sandra, are you good?
I like it. I think it's perfect.
It's perfect. Wow.
Can I just say someone in the chat said Hutton? You guys, Hutton was good really shot. Good today.
Good.
B-Bar was really good today too, but they lost. And it's hard for me to do that.
I know.
You got to give it to the winners.
Yeah. We also got a Lathoon, which is just
a combo of Lo and Croy. That's good.
Well done, good. Chad. Thank well you, Chad. Done, Chad. All right. Let me take you through the defensive side of our best 11. I'm going with Sofia Huerta. The goal for Seattle, her 200th start. Also a fun fact about Sofia Huerta. She is the first player to score at least one regular season goal against 16 different NWSL teams, but to help Seattle back in the scoring ways, her ability down the flanks is so impressive and so crucial for how Laura Harvey and Seattle want to play. And Huerta had a great game this weekend. So hats off to Sofia Huerta. I'm going with the Italian international, Lisa Boateng for Houston. She's shut down Giselle Thompson, guys. Giselle Thompson is Angel City's leading goal scorer, which is crazy to think about. But she is so effective in her movement forward. And Boateng was tremendous in the midweek against San Diego as well. And then this weekend for Houston against Angel City. So really good job by Lisa. I'm going to go Raffaele from Orlando Pride tonight. I think she had a really good game back. And perhaps I wouldn't have given it to her if she hadn't been absent the last several games, but Raffaele's presence in the center back role for Orlando was felt so deeply, I think, because of her absence prior. She looked like she brought stability. She looked really energetic. She was sliding all over the place to intercept passes, to slow down the attack from San Diego, and to stop San Diego from scoring is a hard feat that not a lot of teams have done. So I'm going to put that one on Raffaele's shoulders. And then, yeah, what do you got, Jordan?
I was just going to say, do you think she had a little extra in her too because she didn't want her fellow Brazilians to score on her?
Absolutely. Absolutely, she did. My next center back that I'm going to go with is Uno from North Carolina Courage. Good play by her. Helped get the Courage win. She did a good job in on the ball, off the ball. Her 1v1 defensive efforts, her aerial presence also really impressive throughout this game. But then on the ball too, she breaks lines, she connects passes. She gets the ball moving forward for North Carolina. And then my last one, my goalkeeper, I'm going with Lorena in goal because she had five saves against Portland. And this was a Thorns team that, despite losing 3-1 to Kansas City, they were shooting. Olivia Moultrie had an insane shot. And Lorena just continued to come up big and help get another win, extend the record and the streak for Kansas City to have home wins. Thoughts on my defensive five?
I like the shout for Lorena. Kansas City had to really dig out of some nightmare games there. And I can imagine some of the mental toll that takes, especially if you're the goalkeeper, you know, last line of defense. So I like the shout for her this week for sure. I also really like the shout for Bozing for Houston Dash. I think this might be the
Dasher in there.
We got a Dash player in there. Let's go.
They won, guys.
Yeah.
They won a lot.
They needed it. They needed someone in there because they won. I like it.
Yeah, the championship mentality coming from the Italian. All right, coach of the week, Jordan, who's your nominee?
I gotta go with top of the table, Utah Royals head coach Jimmy Coonrods.
Yep, I doubled down on that one. Sandra?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with what, A, they've been doing in this season so far, and B, the fact that they're top of the table right now. Congratulations.
Yeah, captain of the week. Sandra, do you have a nominee?
There's so many. You know, I think we gave Mel Swanson captain of the week honors last week.
Yeah.
And I think she's on team of the week this week. I mean, you can almost make a similar case for like Luena, but we've also got her on.
So I have an out of the box captain of the week.
Interesting. I'm all ears.
Yeah, I know. We love to break the rules here at A3. And Katrin Berger, she was stretchered off in the CONCACAF semifinal on Wednesday. And I just was feeling for her. And I felt so bad. And then Gotham lost. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the empath in me is thinking of AKB and like her ability to get back and to have to go to the hospital in Mexico and then get back. So I don't know. Just throwing this one out.
Yeah. No, I hear you though. I like where your line of thinking is going. Cause I mean, we didn't have any, there were no Spirit Gotham representation in regular season play this week because they were, you know, representing in CONCACAF Champions Cup. So yeah, I'd be down to give it to AKB.
And if there was VAR, it probably would have been a very different call on the pitch than what happened in the CONCACAF W Champions Cups. I don't know. It's a bit of a stretch, guys.
Yeah. If we're going a stretch too, I'll just stretch with Utah Royals fans because they're seeing their team just like dominate. And they've been with this team for a long time. So like kudos to you guys. So those are our two stretch. I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be. Probably AKB.
Yeah.
We're hoping the best for her, but. I threw a wild one out there too.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'll be the combo breaker. I'll say let's get CONCACAF with it and let's give it to AKB. Let's get crazy with it.
CONCACAF you with it. Good one, guys. This was fun. So fun to hang with you guys. This was Attacking Third presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive? CarMax. It has been a pleasure doing all things footy with both of you and with everyone joining us on Galazzo as a podcast and right here on YouTube. Thanks so much. We will be back 11 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. Set your alarms. We're talking everything NWSL, previewing the weekend, and we will see you then. Have a great week. For Sandra, Jordan, Phil, I'm Lisa. This was Attacking Third. Podcasts.